Blog Talk Radio.
Your host,
Five Smooth Songs. I'm Brother Seth coming at you with another episode of Blog Talk Radio. We are at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stone. Again, blogtalkradio.com, 5 smooth stones, don't forget the underscore. Again, we have a wonderful, exciting, I shouldn't say wonderful, I want to be careful how I use words. You know, everybody just say this is wonderful, that is wonderful. I don't know if it'll be wonderful, because it's more must be the wonder, because we're going to talk about a subject that we all are familiar with, and that is the uniting. When I say all of me, what I mean all the people that normally listen to my show, but there may be a few of y'all that listen for your first time. So, but we're talking about tonight the Federation of International Israelites, okay, or the Uniting of International Israelites. And tonight we're focusing on unity. This is our second part. We talked about it last week. Show went over. Very good show. Very good show. We ended up going a four-way conference. And so I just want to thank everybody that participated last week. Hopefully, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun again tonight. But like I said in the description, actually, let me just read the description, because I'm doing something I never did before. Tonight I'm actually working without any notes. Any notes. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I want this show to be from the heart. Not that the other show's not from the heart, but you know how you write down things and you want to make sure you say everything. Well, tonight is not one of those nights. Let's take a little sip there. Tonight, we're going to be talking about some things that are very, very serious among the Hebrew Israelite camp. And that's one good thing about doing this show so late. It kind of screams out everybody. And of course, people can always go and check the archives, but at least tonight, we know we're going to have a lot of Israelites. And I've sent quite a few messages. Last week, we had a very strong showing. And I just want to thank everybody, by the way, for listening. You know, we have had a lot of people to, for whatever reason, and I'm sure it's because of what the Most High is doing through me and through Arlene when she's on the show. But we've had a lot of people following us. And I appreciate that. Like I said, if you enjoy a show, follow it. I mean, why not? I mean, that's what we're here for. BlogTalkRadio.com has taken away our ability to do some things, and they have kind of handicapped us. I'm sure they probably mean it, but nevertheless, we are handicapped without the old format. So it's always good to see people follow you. So if you enjoy the show tonight, you feel like it's something that the Most High is doing, and Brother Seth is not just having a blog, but he's actually saying things that's going to help us, you should follow 5 Smooth Stones. Support it. We could use it. We need it. Okay? So let's go ahead and talk about this. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about tonight, and then we'll just invite the Most High into our conversation, which he's always invited, but I mean formally us as a group pray. And y'all just bear with me now, because you know, I'm used to having somebody do certain things for me, and on these late night shows it's me doing everything. So bear with me. At least for the next 15 minutes I'll be doing triple task here. But let's talk about what we're going to be talking about tonight. Okay, as we said, tonight is real talk with the real Israelites, who is vastly in exile, scattered to the four corners, and we do believe that. We do believe that, okay? Tonight, again, we talk about different things we can do to strengthen our family cords, starting with our relationship with the Most High. That is what it's all about, friends. If we're not strengthening our relationship with the Most High, our life, our efforts are in vain. We're just wasting our life away. It's just that simple. Then, pursuing, studying more and getting outside of our comfort zones of belief systems, also messianic and non-messianic, seeking honesty to become one mind, seeking honestly to become one mind. That's something that's very important to me. Let me back up, though. Actually, getting out of our belief system. Let's address that for a second. Studying more and getting outside of our comfort zones of belief systems. You know, a lot of us have been raised various types of ways, and those beliefs follow us to our graves, some of us. But I'm just hoping and praying that those, it's really everybody, but for sure the house of David, the Israelites, the so-called Jews, 12 tribes, whatever you want to call them, I'm for sure hoping and praying that we learn how to think outside of this religious bondage that we've been brought up in. We've got to learn to respect different people's beliefs and try to understand things the way they, try to look at things the way they look at it. And I think you can win your brother better. I've always liked to hear people out. Let them go first. Hear them out. Take notes. Don't interrupt. And then when they finish, you can better show them where you disagree because you let them get it all out. But we have got to have these peaceful, what I call peaceful confrontations. We've got to be able to, as the Bible says, if you find your brother, and shalom, Mama B, if you find your brother overtaken in the fault, ye with your spiritual goal restoring such a one. I really think this is our responsibility. And I'm talking about the Hebrew camp, the Messianic versus non-Messianic. There's a, I don't think it's a big risk, but there is some things we need to talk about. We need to unite. We really need to unite. We need to settle this once and for all regarding the Messiah. And I mean it. I'm just as serious as I can be. I just think it's just going on too long, and we're too smart. We're too knowledgeable. We have all of the technology we need as far as getting information. We can get information. That's not a problem with that. But I just feel like it shouldn't be this long that we're still arguing over the very same thing. It tells me that, you know, and it's like, it's, I guess that's why we have all the denominations of the world. I mean, so it's not going to be an easy task, but I just believe, I'm still optimistic about it, that we can become one mind. We can become one mind. After all, if you have the guts and the wherewithal to believe with Israel, you're going against the grain anyway, so you're not quite your everyday saint anyway. So if you can do that, surely we can argue, because that's technically what it is. We can debate. That's Paul, the Bible said it. That's exactly what Paul and Barnabas did. But there's just a way you can do it. I don't know why some people fear debate. Debate is not a bad word. It can be a good thing if you do it in love, respecting each other, and really, really, like I said, honestly trying to become one mind. And let's finish reading the description here. Also, seeking peace if it's possible with all men. Some of us, it seems as though we want to pick a fight with everybody, especially if they don't acknowledge so-called African Americans as being Israelites. And I'm sure those of you in other countries listening, because I got to talk to people everywhere, because I literally have friends on Facebook that live in, especially South Africa, quite a few South African friends, and I know there'll be people listening there in the Caribbean. So really, this is a universal problem. So again, we want to encourage you, us Israelites, the true house of David, to iron out a lot of these problems, sit down and really try to work with each other. I talked with a brother tonight on Facebook, and I'm not going to call his name now because he's probably listening. But I sent a video to him about a particular rapper and this particular song he was singing. It was really good. This rapper was rapping serious truth. But the name of the video was something to the effect of White Boy. And I said, this rap is strong. It's full of fire and truth. But I don't like the fact that this young man is calling white people white boys or white boys. Something, well, what the white boy did, something like that. And I've just learned, folks, and I guess it's just come with old age. I'm not old, but I'm, you know, obviously I'm not 18 anymore. And I just think it comes with just being, it just comes with age. That sometimes wisdom do come with old age. Sometimes if you get old enough, you just get wise. But I've just learned that a lot of our people will not listen to you, and definitely a lot of white brothers and sisters that are the righteous. I'm not talking about the wicked that happens to be white. I'm talking about a lot of our people. I'm talking about the righteous, be they white or black, will listen to you a lot quicker if you're not saying white boy and if you're not saying other derogatory names. Now, when you start spitting that truth, they're going to already act up, some of them, if they're hard not right. So you don't have to try to piss them off with a bad word or call them a boy or any other crazy name that we think of to call each other. All you got to do is just tell the truth, and their colors is going to come out. So I've learned to let them make a fool out of themselves first. Let them, because you never know who's listening. You never know who's just listening. So tonight, I just hope that we really, really, really listen to the things that are hopefully be said by some of you and myself. I never count out y'all, because some of y'all are very intelligent. You've been in this movement longer than I have, some of y'all. And I don't underestimate what you might share around the show, so I always have to say we. But I know one thing, I'm very, very much tired of the little divisions that I see. And I think it's normal. I don't think it's time to get all depressed and feel like we'll never come together as a people or none of that. I just think it's very normal. I think they had it back in biblical times, you know, like Paul and Barnabas did. So I do think this movement, this thank you, Mac Mike's, Denny, I think I got your name right. Thank you. But I know, and you're right when you say, I mean, I know it's an interesting show because it's a very relevant show. I mean, but anyway, you're trying to sell me something too, but I hear you anyway. I just want to say that anytime something is new, anytime something is just birthed, if you will, there will be growing pains. There will be growing pains. Okay? It's just life's cycle. So tonight we're just going to kind of sit back, chill out a little bit. I shouldn't say chill out because we're definitely going to be chilling. But just to count on, just really talk about some things. And I'm going to watch the chat room as best I can. And also kind of keep an eye on the phone line. And we already got several people call already. But anyway, folks, we have a very important issue in our hands, and it is the unification of the House of Israel. We are in a very baby state or embryo state, and we are there is growing pains already. And so it doesn't really sadden me, like I said earlier. We just got to be tough about it and be men and women about it, men and women of the Most High, and just put the enemy in his place, simple and plain. That's where he belongs. And I'm all for it, okay? I don't see nothing else really as important as Israel being unified and fulfilling prophecy, as the scriptures have said. What else is more important than that? Somebody say, well, how about how to think, making money? Somebody may say, what making money is? That's a popular one. I'm not talking about no certain person. Well, making money is like 139 on my priorities. It is important in the top 200. But to me, if our people can just wake up, we won't need another dime to come into the African-American community. You won't need another dime. If we just simply wake up and do what we're supposed to do, the money is going to come automatically. The money, they say we're the sixth richest nation right now. I mean, if you're the sixth richest nation, do you really need any more money? So there is not a lack of money in the African-American community. There is not a lack of clothing in the African-American community. There is not a lack of housing in the African-American community. I say African-American because some of us on this line may not know we're Israel yet, and I have to keep them in mind. But there is not a lack of anything in the African-American community other than knowledge. And just, you know, that's pretty much it, knowledge. And, of course, once we get that knowledge, spirituality, maturity, gifts of the Spirit, character of Christ, all these things will come. So, trying to think here. Oh, before I begin, I just want to say I say it on every show. Please forgive me, those of y'all that listen to this show a lot. But I have got to say this because we got new people. On the front page, that's blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. On that front page, under the picture, there is a link to my personal library. Now, if you want to know where Brother Seth gets a lot of his information from a scholarly standpoint, some of y'all like Curian folks that's got those long letters behind their name, fine, this is for you. Click on that link. And there's books literally addressing almost everything I'll say, okay? All five of the stones that I talk about. And, again, the five smooth stones are nothing more than the five topics we talk about on this show. So, anyway, check it out. Please click on that link and look at some of those books, okay? Some of y'all have been following the show, but you've never clicked on the link. I'm assuming, I don't really know that to be a fact, but I hope everybody have. Also, I want to remind everybody, those that are new to Five Smooth Stones, to please, please listen to the archive. The archive, any subject that I talk about that you're not clear on, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't click on the archive, because the way I do the archive is I try to say something every single show. I try to say several things on each show that I didn't say on the other show. So I'm talking about the different topics, and you really are interested, like some of you right now, it's probably don't understand what I mean by we're Israelites, we're Israel, and you're just flipping out on that. Well, it's time for you to listen to our episode that we do every single Sunday. As a matter of fact, let me just go over our schedule. Today is Tuesday night. Tuesday night, of course, tonight we discuss what we call the Federation of International Israelites. Federation means united. So this is a blog dedicated to the uniting of international Israelites. We've been scattered to the four corners. Why not have a blog where everybody can, if, I know a lot of people sleep this time of night, different people, different time zones. But it's archived. They can listen. They can get information on their brothers and sisters and stuff. We try to have on guests on this night from the different parts of the world. Tonight, I'm just doing a little different because we need to talk about some things, and I will really feel incomplete to keep bringing on guest after guest after guest. And I know that there's a lot of unrest in the house, so to speak. Got the Messianic and the non-Messianic Israelites, you know, with this misunderstanding. And both camps really love the Most High for the most part. Both camps think they're right. Both camps are pursuing the Most High. I just think somebody's got to say it's okay to debate because we've been brainwashing the thinking, oh, I don't want to debate. No, you should debate. You just should control yourself, and you should have the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life, which means you should be peaceful, patient, long-suffering, and just listen to your brothers and sisters in dialogue and exchange scriptures, if not what you think, but exchange scriptures. If we do this, I guarantee you we will become one, because I've heard both camps argue this whole thing about Christ, had he not come into the flesh or not. And I've come to realize that both of them have strong points, but always in a conversation, one of them will start to not listen. Not saying which one it may be, but because it varies. But anyway, so listen to the archive, folks. Again, on Tuesday night, this is what we do, okay? Then on Thursday night, which is the most popular show we have here at 5 Minute Phone, we talk about the one world government, which is another one of those stones. Again, 5 topics we deal with. All right, and real quick, let me just go to the stones real quick. I know I've mentioned this several times, but again, we always got new listeners, and so I don't want them left out. But quickly, the 5 stones, the 5 topics I talk about is, first of all, this revelation of who the real Jews are and why it matters. How it's got everything to do with today, 2011, how it has everything to do with the news you hear, how it has everything to do with end time events, how it has everything to do with the Bible. We are living in the end times, and we've got to understand who Israel is, as you will not understand anything about the end time. It just will be the most boring thing to you. And so this is why we, for sure, one of the reasons we feel it's important to address who is the true house of Israel. Who are the real Israelites? There are several reasons we talk about it. I don't want to get into everything right now, but in a nutshell, if so-called African Americans don't know that they're Israel, they'll never love themselves, because based upon what the media is telling about us, it'll be very hard for us to just have a healthy respect and love and patience for our people with what we're being told we are contributing in society. It's going to be very, very hard for us, again, to love ourselves. So the black psychologists are absolutely right. Naeem Akbar, the Harris, all of these different people out here talking about the state of black America. All of them. You know, I'm trying to think of the guy that does the state of the black family. But anyway, if you've been watching any of these broadcasts where they're talking about the state of the black family, you know that there's a lot of disrespect. And I don't care how saved you are and how much you know you are in Christ, and I'm not negating that, because that right there is the biggest revelation you can get. Knowing who you are in Christ, nothing is going to come second to that. That is major. But we can't even get people to listen to that part if they're thinking this is a white man's Bible, or if they're thinking the Most High thought of us, but he thought of us last. I've talked to people who knew who they were in Christ, but they kind of felt like it was an afterthought. And so they still weren't quite right in the head, spiritually speaking, as regards to their identity. Our people is in an identity crisis right now. Our young people is in a identity crisis right now. And we've got to bring forth this information of who we are and why were we became slaves and why were we dispersed to the four corners, and why are our young men acting, behaving the way they're acting, and why are our young women acting the way they're acting. And so the revelation of who Israel is vitally important for several reasons. White people need to know this, because they need to know that they did not enslave us. They were simply used. The Most High said you'd be enslaved if you disobey, so what does it matter who he used to do it? The problem with white people, and I'm going through the schedule real quickly. We forgot about the topic for tonight, but I've got the latest out there. Bear with me real quick. We'll be brief here. But I'm talking about the importance of knowing who Israel. One of the topics I talk about, one of the 5 smooth stones, knowing who the true Israelites are. So we go into that on Sunday. And like I said, if once white people know who really enslaved us? How did they people was a people called out of the caves of Europe, and I'm being honest and clear as I can, as historical as I can, biblically sound as I can, as well as secular history sound as I can. Out of the caves of Europe, having migrated into the northern part of Europe, people come from Africa, and those people, the Most High, end up choosing to enslave the world. It's all biblical. Whites need to know that. They won't have this so-called white man's burden, and there will be a freedom and a release of captivity for them psychologically, okay? But this message is going to set people free, going and coming. All ethnic groups is going to be blessed by truth. As Christ said, man shall live by every word that is out of the mouth of the Most High. So that's what we do on Sunday. Sundays at 3:30 we talk about how do we know who are the true Jews, are the real Jews, and we go into the scriptures heavy, heavy, heavy. And that's on Sunday, okay? I talked about Tuesday, tonight, the Federation of the United of the House of David or the International Israelites. We'll talk about that a little bit. On Thursday, we talk about something called the One World Government or the New World Order. The name of the show is called the One World Society. And I call that everybody that's listening, those of us that's going back and forth talking about this on Thursday night. It's another late night show just like this one is. We talk about what is going on in our world, what is going on in our world, and we just finish up on demonology, spiritual warfare, because if you don't understand spiritual warfare, folks, you just won't believe nothing about the one world government or the new world order. It would just be too much for you. You just feel like it's too, like people do, they poke fun at people that talk about it. They say we are conspiracy theorists, nuts. And they trivialize it because they can't fathom the wickedness of a man. They cannot fathom the wickedness of these men in high places. They cannot believe that people would literally murder 3,000 people in the World Trade Center just to give them an alibi to go to war, just to give their people an alibi to go to war. So when you tell them that the government of the United States is responsible for 9/11, of course, we're not talking about every single person in government. We're talking about a vicious you inside of the government. It was an inside job. People laugh at you and they flip you off and they do all kinds of things because they cannot understand why people or who would be that wicked to do that to their own people. Not knowing that history and American government have been doing lots and lots of times in history. So this is where I kind of like Thursday night because we get our white brothers and sisters, a lot of them been studying this, you know, for a long, long time, and this is when I can get them involved. You know, they're not too quick to get involved when talking about the Israelite question, but when I bring them about the government and what they're doing, here they come by the hundreds. So I enjoy watching them help us with this one. But we expose the wickedness of the New World Order, secret society. We're going to get into more about the Rothschilds and the IMF and the WHO and the World Bank, just different things, the Holocaust. We're going to get into a lot of different things, why they have all these coffins on the side of the freeways all over the United States. People don't want to call them coffins, but that's exactly what they are. But see how I sound paranoid when I said that? Some of y'all saying coffins. Coffins? You never even noticed. You're driving down the freeway and see all these little containers. You don't know that there's been a... This is something new that they just started. I guess it's been like, what is it, maybe the last 10 years they've been ordering lots and lots and lots of these containers. But wait till we talk about what we think they're for. So a lot of things we talk about, a lot of things we talk about. Very controversial show on Thursday night. What's really going on? So anyway, that's the New World Watch Society. And then on Saturday, my favorite, y'all's favorite is the one on Thursday. But the one on Saturday is my favorite, and it's becoming y'all's favorite, too. It's the second most popular broadcast we do, and it deals with the origin of man. We call it Bible leprosy. We talk about how white sin, as we know it today, is nothing more than it was in Bible times. I should say albinism, albinism. It was in Bible days, a a type of leprosy. Not all, there's about five different types of leprosy, but it was a type of leprosy. We know that because the Most High told Moses to put his hand in his bosom, and the Bible says his hand became leprous as snow. Leprous as snow. Why would the Most High say as snow? Leprous just mean white. Someone may say, well, you can't twist scriptures like that. Well, he said the same thing about Miriam. When Miriam became smitten with leprosy, she became leprous as snow. Leprous as snow. And furthermore, to validate the argument, in Leviticus 13 and 13, when you're covered with whatever leprosy is, when you're covered with whatever leprosy is, when it starts to spread all over your body and you're covered with it from head to toe, then you are clean. Clean means accepted. You can go among all the other people. Why would the Most High say when you're covered with sores, which is what most preachers call leprosy, why would the Most High say when you're covered with sores and they're all over your body, then you can go and be with other people? Make you think, don't it? Folks, leprosy, a form of leprosy, is nothing more than white skin. And our brothers and sisters today, our white brothers and sisters today, are not leprous because they mix so much, they have so much melanin, they've gotten... their hair is not like albinos. They have more color because the more you mix with melanin or earth, melanin is nothing more than earth. Dr. Julia Jewel Pookum comes on. We've had her on via audio. And actually, I'm trying to get Dr. Pookum on the show live. I mean, the real Dr. Pookum on. So I'm trying to do that because she goes on shows like on Blog Talk. So trying to do that, but she'll explain how melanin is nothing more than earth. So when you lose your earth or your brownness, that was a type of curse back in biblical time. But thanks be to Yahweh, who has sent the Messiah. And now because of his blood, all men have been engrafted in it. And it doesn't matter whether or not you have thinning hair, which was another type of plague. It don't matter if you're too tall, which was another type of it was another thing that was wrong. In the Bible days, you can have no blemishes. No blemishes. You could be too tall, too short, can be left-handed, falling out. There's lots of things that under the old Levitical law that the Most High would not allow you to be priests if you had these things. So anyway, we go into how civilization started, or I should say, what did the first man look like? You know, and how do we get white skin? Because people ask it all the time. Well, if the Israelites are black today, Brother Seth, if the Israelites are black, or y'all believe that the whole earth was black initially, or brown, then where did white people come from? So it's a very valid topic we do on Saturday. Again, it's our second most popular show, and I think it's going to bypass the one on Thursday because people are beginning to understand that I'm not just spewing hatred. No kind of reverse bell curves crap. This is straight up scripture. And when they see the love in my heart, the love in Arlene, because she helps me with it, they see these people are serious. And we use a lot of science with it as well. So that's on Saturday at 11 a.m. All right, folks, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer because we definitely want the Most High. I know I've taken a lot of time now, but we definitely want the Most High involved in our conversations. It's too serious. Y'all, the time is at hand. It's just too serious to be playing around, just trying to talk on a blog, just to be talking, or just staying up at night, just surfacing. We really and truly got to be inviting the Most High into every aspect of our life. And that goes to me, you, everybody. So let's go ahead and invite the Most High into our short talk tonight on this federation or uniting of His chosen, the apple of His eye. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You for another opportunity to come to You. We thank You, Yahweh, for making the way possible for Christ to come and die for our sins and make it possible that the veil be rent and that we have a harmonious relationship with the Father. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You. And Father, as a group of people tonight, we heartfully, earnestly cry out to You for wisdom and knowledge where it relates to how we should proceed as these lost scattered tribes. You're the one that scattered us because of our rebellion. and we're asking you for wisdom and guidance as to how we are to be united. We're very serious tonight, Father, and we're seeking your heart, wanting to know how to preserve our family, preserve ourselves, and be a part of your end-time movement. Show us how to love each other more, not just us, but show us how to love everybody, and show us how to avoid the wicked. Show us, give us wisdom. You said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of you, who give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not. So we ask of you, Most High, that you would reveal unto us wisdom as to how to deal with the wicked and the righteous. These things we ask, these things we beseech you for, in the Messiah's name. Amen. Okay, folks, let's do this. Let's do just like we did last week. First of all, before I just feel like asking this question. Anybody in the chat room have a question before I begin? Just feel like asking that. Anybody got a question in the chat room before I begin? If you do, just I'm watching you. I'm watching the chat room. Let me know if anybody want to comment on the phone line. Simply press 1. And I'll open up the phone line and you can talk. I'm one of those brothers. I love to share, but I really don't love to talk. Some people think I like to talk. They really think I like to talk. It's not so much I like to talk as I like to just share and enlighten people. Okay? But if the people are already enlightened, I don't necessarily care to talk. Unless we get them another subject that I can enlighten them on. So, by nature, a lot of people don't understand this. They don't believe me. A lot of my friends, if they heard this, they'll crack up laughing. But I really am a quiet person by nature. It's just the knowledge that I've learned, I'm very happy to share it. But if somebody's not listening, I don't want to talk. So doing this blog tonight because I really, really, really care about us as a people. I used to say I care about black people, but, you know, the Bible, we got to be very careful saying, like I think Fred Price one time said, that he has been given a ministry to black people. I'm called a minister to black people. You can't say that. Ain't no scripture nowhere going to be able to stand on saying you call to teach black people. And you're not going to have no verse to support you. Anybody say, I just want to help my people. You don't have no verse to stand on to say that. You can't say that. You can't say I'm called to help black people. I just want to have black people. You can't say that. I know some of y'all say, what do you mean we can't say? You can't say you called and have black people. I mean, it's not scriptural. Everything you do has got to be scriptural. You just can't go around just making up stuff. You cannot help black people for the sake of helping black people. I mean, if you do, you're going to be offending the Most High. I mean, if you're doing it for that reason. Now, this is what I say. I say I'm called to help Israel. And the Bible did say in the latter days certain things are going to happen to Israel. If I say that I'm called to help Israel, and the Most High say that Israel is supposed to be helped, that validates the ministry. If I say I'm called to help Israel unite, and the Bible says in the latter days, I will, Jeremiah, I think, 16:16, he's going to call hunters and fish, hunters to hunt out Israel from every mountain and fishes to fish them out. If he says that, then I got valid reasons to be a hunter or a fisher. And that's what I am. I literally am. I believe I'm called to be one of those hunters and one of those fishers in the modern day, in the last day. I'm one of those persons. I've got opportunities to travel, but that don't mean nothing because I travel. Don't mean you absolutely got to travel. No. I'm just saying I believe that my ministry, I was called in 1982 to preach. I started immediately winning people over to the Lord. I think one year I won 72 people to the Lord, all by, of course, with the Holy Spirit. For sure, the Holy Spirit using me, absolutely. But I didn't have a message other than the basic gospel, which is great. I mean, what's better than just preaching the gospel? But in the church, everybody is called to do that. That's not really a calling. If you call to be a minister, normally the Most High gives you a certain message because everybody is called to the ministry of reconciliation. So if you walking around, you just reconciling people to Christ, yep, what you probably do. But as when you say I'm called into the ministry, you normally have like ministry. Some people are called to build a family. You ever seen people? They always talk about marriage. And then you see some people they call to deal with the youth. And you see some people they call different operations, ministrations, as Ephesians talk about in the so-called fivefold ministry. Well, I believe my calling, and it's, you know, again, one of those ministrations, I believe my calling, along with the ministry of reconciliation, which is your call with that too. Again, you're called, listener, to that same ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, to go and reconcile men back to the Most High. We all are called for that, called with that. But I have a calling, I believe, to help resurrect the house of David. And that happens to be so-called African Americans, because they live out the scriptures prophetically, being Israel. And also, they have brothers and sisters that are living out the same plight scattered at the four corners. That, to me, is my calling. And if you find yourself intrigued by it and you can't quite get it off your mind, you probably call as well and just don't know it. So I don't get all spooked out over people talking about call to preach. No, we all call to preach. We all call to the ministry of reconciliation. It's the truth. But we all haven't been called in the ministry. You know, Paul was called to the Gentiles. See what I mean? Different people have different calls. Anyway. So, let's go ahead and let's, I didn't get any questions, so I guess we're all fine. But if y'all want to get heated like it did last week, that's great. I welcome it all. I do not run from a debate. I run from bitterness. I run from disrespect. I run from just any time it gets to where we're no longer learning and we're just egos and getting into ego contests and so forth. So let's go ahead and talk about the first thing on the description here, and that is the relationship with the Most High. I can talk about this for 1 month straight. 1 month straight, I can just sit here and just talk if my vocal cords will let me, because this affects me in a personal manner. I mean, I suffer when I don't keep the Most High first in my life. And just because I call myself a minister and all these things, folks, please, some of y'all probably live circles around me, and some of y'all, I probably live circles around y'all. But what I'm saying is, we've got to keep the Most High first and forefront. Okay? I'm telling y'all, when you do whatever you do as a Hebrew Israelite, and I'm talking to family tonight, anybody on the outside listening in, just y'all bear with me. It'll get a little clear a little later on. I know some of y'all may even believe we Israel. Just keep listening, and it'll grow on you. And I guarantee you, in the end, you will see a need to get closer to the Most High, because that's what this whole blog is all about. All the five smooth stones. And I don't think I even mentioned them. Again, I don't even think I mentioned them with the five smooth stones or whatever. But they're leprosy. We talked about Bible leprosy. Israel, the revelation of the true Jews. The one world government. We talked about their white supremacy. We didn't mention that. And the last one, but not least, is the solution to all of this. The kingdom of the Most High. It's not just coming, folks. It's already here, and it's becoming more and more visible. These five topics is what we mean when we say five smooth stones. Okay. So, keeping the Most High number one in your life is the most important thing. Folks, I don't care what y'all getting out here doing. Many of y'all is really studying the Hebrew, the Paleo Hebrew. You just really familiarizing yourself with Strong's, and you're researching. Some of y'all is getting into Egyptology, and you're looking at, I mean, we're really studying. That's good. All that's good. But if you're not doing it for and unto the Most High, you're wasting your life. You are religious. I mean, I hate to say it, but you are religious, and you're part of the world's problem. Religious people is the problem. I think they are. They are what gives Satan strength. Religious people. They're the problem with our world. I mean, I used to think it was the murders and killers and liars and all that. If you really study that thing close, we birth, we manufacture a faulty church produced murderers. A faulty teaching of the Bible and God will cause people to go out and do things in the name of God. More wars is fought over religion than anything on the planet. Please, we are the problem with the planet. If we, and I'm going to say we, I'm going to always include myself, so y'all won't think I'm trying to talk down on y'all because I don't have it like that. But I'm telling you, folks, please believe me tonight. I don't have no reason to misguide y'all tonight. I mean, I'm not making a dime off these blogs, you know. Don't even always get a compliment. Many of y'all like what I do. You won't even follow me. I mean, I'm thankful for all of those that have. I got quite a few numbers that do. But I'm just saying, I don't get much from y'all is what I'm trying to say. So I have no reason to be just, you know, lying to you. I just don't need it. I'm telling you, honest to God, truth. You know, so, folks, listen. We need to make sure our relationship is right with the Most High. It's just that we need to make sure Yahweh is first and foremost in our life. We need to make sure that everything we do it for and unto Him. If you're talking to a brother about a misunderstanding, do it because Yahweh wants you to. Do it because Yahweh wants you to. Okay? Do it. And I'm only using different Hebrew names for those who don't know what those names mean. That's why I always say God. I always say that because I know people don't know what we're talking about. And we got to remember them and not just leave them on the side of the road because we want to speak Hebrew. And that's another thing I want to talk about a little later on. Why we're so obsessed with speaking Hebrew. It's like the Muslims. I wish the Muslim brother would have hung out a little longer. But it's like the Muslim, they love saying Assalamu alaikum. Somebody say peace, they kind of look at you funny. You know, you supposed to say, well, let them salam back. But why don't we get off on speaking Hebrew or speaking to our brothers as, you know, in Arabic, when we don't speak the language of Arabic? We'll just say one or two things in Hebrew and one or two things in Arabic, and you better say those things in Arabic else you got trouble. You don't say Yahweh, or you don't say Yahweh, or if you don't say Yeshua, or if you don't say Yahshua, or you don't say Yahweh. I mean, we still learning the name because if we got 16 names for the Messiah and the Father, I mean, I'm going to get back to the relationship with the Most High, but I've got to talk about this, folks, because this is really causing us trouble. I mean, I know people, they so bent on keeping the Shabbat, and that's great. That's great, but are you aware that the Most High really don't want just one day? That's the whole purpose of Him giving them one. Israelites was a bunch of knuckleheads. Y'all got to understand them, people. They were very rebellious people. And the Most High instituted this one day to make sure they get one day in, but He really wants 7 days. He says, okay, just this day y'all keep. We all been out of shape. Y'all trusting a whole lot of white people, even though which day it is. I know y'all think y'all really know. Now in the feast days it's easy because we can go with the lunar, we can watch the full moon, you know. But even there's arguments as to what is the full moon and what is the full moon versus empty moon. Some people say the new moon is the empty moon, and some people say the new moon is the full moon. I mean, I'm just saying, with there being so much uncertainty, we should be more loving to each other. Because truth of the matter is, some of y'all really don't know that you know that you know. You just know better than the next person. The next person never even thought about the equinox, and you might be more up on. I'm just saying, folks, we got to, as I said in the description, we got to seek ways to try to understand each other more. We got to try to find ground areas where we're a little bit more, Just look for common beliefs. Let's try to, when we first talk to another fellow Hebrew Israelite, especially if they're Messianic and you're non-Messianic, why don't we first see what we can agree on? Maybe they may both agree that the Most High name is Yahweh. Or the three of them is named Yahweh. Okay? That's good. Let's talk about that for a while. Let's build on what we know. Do you have children? I have children. Okay, let's talk about children, how they are. Okay, are you married? All right, so am I. Let's talk about marriage and women and, you know. Okay, do you like sports? Okay, let's talk about sports. Okay, are you, if you don't like sports, how do you like to read? Do you like to study? You know, you study a little bit of this. I mean, let's find common ground, just basic social behavior. I mean, this is what the world does when they're building bridges within their economic, you know, when they're building, when they're, you know, just shooting the breeze on the golf course. You got to find out what's in common first. Then people can let down their guards, their egos can kind of rest, and then you can get into the meat of the matter. But if you go off talking about, well, you don't believe in Christ and start, I mean, I hate to start talking to Israelites. And the first thing we talk about was we disagree, because it ain't going to go right, especially if you really know a lot and the other person's a little dumb. Because let's face it, we all are not equipped the same. Some of us know hundreds of things more than the next person. And so when you open up your mouth and you know three things and I know 300, automatically you're going to feel intimidated, and so you're going to start trying to act like you don't understand, you don't believe nothing I say, when in reality, you know I'm making a whole lot of sense, or vice versa, it might be me that know three things, you might know 300. I think it's wise, and I'm going to keep talking about this. I'm going to bring on guests. I haven't forgot about guests. We're going to bring on people from other parts of the world and talk to people. I started this show for that. So we want to open up and start learning more about our brothers and sisters in India. I've gotten some people that said they want to come on. So we going to talk about this, but I just feel like those of us in the States, and I bet this probably going on all over, we really got to get this together. I mean, serious. I know it's old, it's Methuselah, but we did a thing on righteousness. It was the very first episode where we talked about this whole beef, because a lot of Israelites is actually trying to be justified by the law. I mean, some of you so-called Christians or believers or whatever you want to call yourself, you're probably throwing up about now or just laughing at us, because you know that foolishness to be trying to be justified by the Old Testament law. But I promise you, there are hundreds, if not thousands, maybe millions of Hebrew Israelites, non-Messianic, and probably Messianic too, that actually is trying to be justified by the law, not realizing that even Moses, who was one of the greatest patriarchs of all, his righteousness was as filthy rags. David, whose throne is supposed to be forever, his righteousness was a show as filthy rags. How all of a sudden in 2011, you live in the middle of Babylon, you're going to be able to muster up some righteousness that's going to exceed to the degree that the Most High accepts you? It's foolishness. So once we start thinking like this and we start really thinking about this sin question, because, and I'm not trying to get beat up on the non-Messianic Hebrews, but I'm just saying we really got to start thinking about things like, okay, if we are not justified by Christ, and we are if you're not justified by the law, excuse me, you don't believe in Christ, you have to answer your Messianic brothers. You got to go talk to your rabbi or your priest your Cohen, and say, listen, we're not justified by the law, for sure, because the patriarch was not. And we don't believe in Christ, so what do we do with our sin? What do we do with our sin? I'm telling you, we got to tighten things up. And sometimes if you just don't know, just don't comment. Let the other brother talk. Sometimes I just think it's an ego thing. And most of the time, this is men doing this. Women, they don't get into it too much. It's mostly men. And they used to call it a pissing contest. And pissing is not cursing, by the way. It's in the Old Testament. But a lot of it ain't nothing but a pissing contest with men. You always just got to be on top and always got to get the last word. And I'm a man. I'm telling you that's the way. I'm not saying all women. I'm not saying women don't do it. But most of the time, we have these big, it's these men, these egos, and that's what's keeping our people in bondage. So I was talking about having a relationship with the Most High, and I think this ties in with that because if we can't, I mean, if we kept him first, it wouldn't matter who in the argument. If we kept the Most High, if I was talking to a brother, okay, I see Victorious is in the chat room tonight. If I was talking to this brother and I said to him, I don't believe that the Messiah has come. I think David is the one that's supposed to rule forever. And Victor Victoria said to me, well, I believe in the Messiah, and he saved me, and he healed my body and all this. And I'm like, you know, I just feel like if I was doing this for the sake of the Most High and trying to please him, I wouldn't be so quick to win the argument because I'm doing it as unto the Father. I'm trying to help this brother as unto the Father. So I'm more apt to hear what he's got to say and try to help him. But if I'm doing it for my own ego's sake, I'm going to be raising my voice, which sometimes I do. I'm going to be cutting him off, not letting him get his words out because I'm going to be offended. And I just think most of this is just ego all day long. So, again, folks, those of us that have come into the realization that we are Israel, or as the Hebrew would say, Yisrael, we got to really ask some hard questions. I used to live in Cincinnati, and I know in Cincinnati there is a strong following. I'm not going to mention no names, but the non-Messianic movement in Cincinnati is very strong, probably stronger than it is anywhere else in the country. And I know I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but it's like a lot of people in the Cincinnati area either ignore this brother that has this largest following of non-Messianic. They either ignore him and say he's crazy, or they're afraid to challenge him. And I think it's the craziest thing. I don't see why you can't do an open show with everybody listening, put on the radio, have a moderator, and do it all in spirit. Say, we're going to do this unto the Most High. We love him. We worship him. And we just want to come together and let those brothers share. Let one brother share, the other brother share. Okay, brother, do you have scriptures to support what you just say? Well, I don't have scripture. You just got to know about the spirit. Well, if you don't know, have scripture, then okay. All right, brother, do you have scripture? Yes, I do have scripture. You share the word, and we just go forth from the scripture. When you start talking about the spirit, it gets spooky. When folks start talking about, well, that's in the spirit. You got to know it by the spirit. A lot of times they're trying to control you. It is some things that you only can know by the spirit. Why? I mean, seriously. There are some things you can only know by the Spirit. That is the truth. But most of this stuff is in the Word. It's in the Word. The Word is going to back it up some kind of way. So anyway, I just think we got to just really come out of ourselves, lose our little pride, and come together. Now, I want to move off that. I'll come back to it a little later on. But let's talk about these so-called white people, our white brothers and sisters. And some of y'all right now is probably wanting to leave this blog because I said the wrong word when I said our brothers and sisters. And to me, I don't know no kind way to respond to you other than to say you have not been smoking on some. If you think that white people are not our brothers and sisters, that's why you got to listen to the Saturday broadcast when I talk about leprosy, because I know what y'all thinking. It's just, I'm talking about a bunch of swords and stuff, but it ain't like that. I go off into how that we are all one humanity, and I make it crystal clear. The Most High has given this message to me to where I make it crystal clear that we, everybody on the planet is white. We're just covered with melanin, like an M&M. All of us are nuts. Some of us are covered with chocolate. Some of us are covered with red. Some of us are covered with yellow, but we all M&M. And that's where we really are. I mean, the truth of the matter is doctors think it is a heart, a lung, a kidney, but a white person in some cases is actually a better fit for you than black people. Now, if that don't prove that they are human and they're our brothers and sisters, I don't know what to do with it. You know, there's a blog, you know, I probably get in trouble. Yeah, but, you know, like the COFA network, I probably going to get in big trouble, but I heard Brother Yahya, and I really like them. I really, 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 really like the COFA network. I think they're professionals. I like the fact that a lot of people are following them, but I vehemently disagree with them saying white people, you're not human. That's some of the craziest stuff, and ain't no way you can turn that right, and I'll probably get in trouble for calling their name now, but all I'm saying is folks, we got to be careful. The Bible says very clear. The Bible we're talking about, we love, again, if you love the Most High, you're going to seek to get along with his people. And, again, I just told you the COFA network is sharp. I just told you it's professional. I just told you a lot of people listen to it. I just told you I like it. So I leave it intact. I'm saying more good things about it than bad things. But there's just one little title that I had a problem with, kind of like I did when I talked about earlier about the Facebook, that video that me and the brother talked about. But you can't say somebody ain't human when if you need a lung or a kidney or whatever, that their kidney is a better fit than your own brother and sister, that's your biological brother and sister. So I'm just saying, doctors have been saying this forever, that there's a very little difference between so-called African-Americans and others. Now, I know that there is a difference. There is a difference. I understand that. But it's so minor. It is so minor. Some of us just want to hate. We just want to find something against each other. We just want to find something, you know. The white man is not our problem. He's not our problem. He did not enslave us. That's a lie. No, he didn't. The Most High said before Europe even became a nation that you were being enslaved by those that are not a people. I will provoke you to jealousy by those that are not a people. Not saying they weren't human, but they was not a mighty people. They was not a known people. It says in the scriptures that in Deuteronomy 28 that people who our forefathers didn't even know. We will go into oppression or we'll go into captivity by folks that our forefathers didn't even know. And I thought our forefathers knew everybody. So I'm saying, folks, before Europe even became a country, the Most High already said how we was going to be enslaved. So can you really say that they enslaved us? What they're going to be in trouble for, and they are in trouble, are my whites, the whites that rule over us, and their descendants. There is a judgment that's going to come on them, and it's biblical. And can't nobody stop it. The biblical judgment that they won't be able to stop is the fact that they're going to take it too far. It's been prophesied they will take it too far. It's been prophesied they are going to take it too far. So all I'm saying tonight is this. The truth of the matter is they are just fulfilling prophecy. Our forefathers are the one that took from the Most High. Our forefathers did not serve him with gladness of heart, as the scriptures say, joyfully, you know, worship him. This is why we went into captivity. We was disobedient. Our forefathers did not pass down the culture, the heritage to their kids and their kids' kids. So we are suffering because of Israel. We are suffering today because of your forefathers. You want to know why you have it so hard, why we can't come together, why we're at the bottom of every society? It's because the Most High said it would be that way. He said it would be that way, folks. I'm telling you, this is the Bible. I ain't trying to get no white person off the hood. I ain't trying to kiss up to him. I ain't no Uncle Tom, none of that. Some people know I'm far, 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 far from that. So this is what we got to share, even to our white brothers, to let them know. No, you don't have to feel guilty. You didn't enslave us. I mean, think about it. If white people put us in a situation we're in, this is why you don't want to say white people did it. And I bet you after I say this, you won't say it no more. If white people are the ones that enslaved us, that makes them look like geniuses. If they did all that, even the Willie Lynch, I've heard about that, but Willie Lynch, yes, there was something to that, but the Most High allowed Willie Lynch to have that mentality and to separate the boy. I mean, if you're going to go through oppression, you're going to be oppressed. I'm just saying, if they took it too far, we know they took it too far. The scripture said they're going to take it too far. Now, what all they did in taking it too far, I don't know. Maybe the Willie Lynch is a part of the taking it too far. All I know is that they are going to be judged. America's going to be judged because they took it too far. But the slavery in and of itself has already been prophesied to happen to us. We got to be very careful with how we go around talking about the white man, calling Esau and Edom and all this stuff. So I know some of y'all believe that, but again, listen to the whole leprosy take on Saturday, because I erased that whole Edomites and Esau philosophy, because I believe all the Bible was black. I mean, I believe all Bible was black. The only time there was so-called white skin is when someone was cursed with leprosy. There was people cursed with leprosy. And we'll go into that on Saturday. But anyway, let's talk more about us. Family, let's talk about us. Let's talk about the house of David. Let's talk about us people that are have come into this revelation. Isn't it, first of all, let me take a little break and just say this. Isn't it a good thing, though, Mama B and Victoria and everybody in the chat room, those guests there and everybody holding on the phone line? Isn't it a blessing, though, that we do know this, that we do have the wherewithal to know that we Israel? I mean, just for a second. You don't want to pat yourself on the back, but who are you that the Most High will reveal this revelation? Do you know, if people been in churches, and I mean they're good people, strong people in the church, and they don't know this, and they just can't seem to get it either. And it's right there for everybody to see. Who are y'all that you even see it? I mean, think about that for a second. Who are you? You must be called to this. I'm not trying to get in your head, but you must be called to this that you can see Israel in 2011 when millions of churches don't see it. That almost make you a minister. That almost give you something special. Well, I'm not a minister. But hold on now. Why do you see it? Why come you know it? How can you see it? We're going to talk about, for sure, correcting some things tonight, but just for a little brief, I just said I want to take a little break. Some of us don't want to think about good things about us for whatever reason. But every once in a while, just pull over, so to speak, in your mind and just ask yourself, who are you that you see it? You know people that live a much more chaste life than you do. They've been in the churches and they are the givers and they keep as much laws as the Holy Spirit show them. I mean, they live in this thing, but they just don't see or can fathom that so-called African Americans is living out the scriptures. Even though you point right at the scriptures and say, look, right there. There it is, verse 68 says, Israel will be put in ships. We was put in ships, Pastor. Well, yeah, I see what you're saying, but, they just can't see it. They can build big old gigantic buildings and call, I mean, they do well. Some of these people are very sharp in life. Some may be attorneys and doctors. And they'll read all the prophecies. And they'll look over in Israel and they can't see nothing on people doing scripture. They can't prove nothing in the Bible that those people do as a nation in scripture. They can't show you the Holocaust in the Bible. They can't show, you know, Midrash, these priests that make up, that ad-lib the Bible. They call them Midrash. I mean, some of you use that name for something else. But I'm just saying, these so-called Jews literally rewrite the Bible. Now, no hatred to the Jews tonight. I ain't on no hatred thing. I'm just saying, all of this deception, this sea of deception, this ocean of deception, and there you are, listen to the blog, don't think none of it, just spend another night listening to Five Stone Song, and you've got something that is a fire torch, a welding torch. Every time you open up your mouth, folks have trouble with you because it makes so much sense what you're saying. It's like I was in Cincinnati. I'm not trying to put them on the spot, but and I would call this radio station, and I would continue to say over and over and over the same thing for 10 years. And at first, it was the same way in my personal life, too. My personal life, people say he's crazy. On the radio, they would say he's crazy. But I kept saying, and then I started getting more scriptures and more scriptures and more scriptures and more scriptures. Then people began to start coming around. And I would say, I don't know if they would say, but I would say when I left Cincinnati, the bulk of the people I think listened believed it. They may didn't want to tell me, but I had people to confide and say, Brother Seth, I don't even want to agree with you. I want to side with this other person. But what you say makes so much sense. What else could it be? What else could it be? I hear you, Victim to Victorious. I see you. So, again, and I don't think the people in these churches is nothing less than us. They just haven't come into the light yet. I don't think they got this, you know, one friend of mine calls them. Well, I just believe they ain't like, I mean, some people, they don't want to learn. They just stuck in this and they thought, no, I can't say that. Some of them are. Some of them never will ever agree. No matter what you show them, you can show them a picture of Christ in the Bible and they still would. I mean, some just, okay. But there are some people, they are nothing more than you. And they're in church, and they just need somebody to come and show them the right scriptures. Because we got Hebrew Israelites laughing white people, call them all kind of names, and they're not putting the scriptures out there. They need to be putting out there talking about who we are. So anyway, I tell you, I can just talk about this forever. I can just talk about this forever and ever and ever. Anybody have any comments? Anybody have any questions? Please just press the one on your phone, and I'll be glad to let you comment. Now, let me just say this real quick. Let's go back to what we were talking about. And, you know, one reason I ask for comments, I like to, I don't want people to think I'm thinking I'm holier than thou or something like that. I really don't. I just feel like this is major, 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 and I feel like the Bible has already prophesied that this will happen. It has said it clear as day, and it's being fulfilled as far as the dry bones are coming together. That the prophet has already prophesied unto these dry bones, and we need to keep prophesying to them. They're taking on sinews and flesh, just like with Ezekiel. They're becoming alive, and they're waking up. And sometimes I have to just talk to myself because I don't get how people are just so brain dead. Just brain dead. And if I was to go talking about anything else about how black people done did this, that, and the other, some blaming us, they'll get it quick. But But if you say anything about black people, so-called African American being great and doing, they start throwing up. And you know what all it is? It's just white supremacy. This is why I talk about leprosy. Why are you talking about leprosy? This is why. Because leprosy to me is the biggest backbreaker of the five smooth stones to white supremacy. If I can show you how the earth started out all black and that God, the Most High, made us, Elohim, made us from the dust of the earth, if I can show you how Yahweh formed us out of that dust, breathed into us as himself, and we became living a living soul, if I can show how that man was brown dust colored, and I can nail that down with the help of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to go find out every little thing black people did, every little indigenous black people did. I don't have to do that. Because it all started with us. To me, that's a shortcut to our greatness than trying to listen to Dr. Jeffries and all these guys. They do a very good job in talking about how we contribute to society, and definitely the father of black history, John Henry Clark. They do a brilliant job. I'm never going to negate what they do. But to me, for somebody that's not astute, it might not like to read a whole lot. I mean, I read, don't get me wrong. But I'm not one of those person that can read seven books a week or something like that. The shortcut is just leprosy. Don't sign up for what class? Well, I guess you wasn't talking to me. Anyway, I was saying, what do you mean by don't sign up for that class, Buster? What class are you talking about, this Victoria? Well, type fast for me. But I'm just saying leprosy, the revelation, the truth about it, what it really is, a form. Remember, folks, it's just a form of leprosy. That revelation to me set me free. It did it for me. Some people need to know every single thing black folks invented, the red light, to this, to that. I don't need all that. All I need to know that Mosai chose brown to make his man. That's all I need. I know everything that you can conceive of come from brown-skinned people. That's all I need. Because all my life, brown-skinned people was told they was cursed. Oh, I hear you. I hear you, Victor to Victoria. So anyway, all I'm saying is, folks, we got work to do. And I'm so glad I thought to say this. Another thing is, don't underestimate you. Don't underestimate you. You right there listening to me right now. Never underestimate who you are. And I mean this so strong, because, I mean, even sometimes me, I look at the problem, and, you know, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And that scripture I've always remembered, because a friend of mine told me that a long time ago, and I said, what do you mean, hope deferred makes the heart sick? He said, man, when you're hoping for something to come and it keeps being put off and put off and put off, it makes your heart sick. It makes you sick. And I don't want to experience that. I have experienced it. I don't want to keep experiencing it. I want us to be able to realize some of these things we aspire to do and hope for. And I want to see the day come that the so-called African-American church, and really the entire church, the real church, the whole church, because it's really not an African-American church. I meant African-Americans in church, but I want to see the so-called African-American and everybody come into the idea, the belief, who Israel is. And I'm telling you, folks, once that happens, you ain't got to worry about that Gaza Strip and the Palestinians, because it's going to seem foolish to them arguing over something and the whole world looking over their shoulder saying, y'all not the real people of the land anyway. And nations will fight for us. Nations will want to defend us. This is what people don't understand. They say, well, okay, Seth, let's say you are right. How is Israel going to become one day occupied by this remnant you keep talking about? First of all, if the Most High says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I think the way it's going to happen, my own finite mind, is it's embarrassing to try to rule over some and everybody else on the whole planet know it's not yours. So you're going to get nations pushing to do all that they can to fund us, fund our movement, fund true return of Israel. I mean, look how they went and got those, what was it, 23,747 or 767 to Ethiopia and airlifted those Falasha. We don't like the word Falasha. They call us that Beta Israel. But airlifted Beta Israel from Ethiopia. People just pushed for that to happen. That's nothing compared to the 12 tribes. Those are cousins. The Ethiopians is product of, as you know, as y'all already know, most of you, Queen of Sheba, Megiddo, and Solomon. This was their child, Menelik. And these descendants, Haile Selassie and company from Ethiopia, these are their descendants, are Menelik descendants. So they're our cousins. That's not 12 tribes. So they didn't really, they're trying to fulfill the Bible. Really, I think they just gave into that pressure to get those Ethiopians because they didn't want to acknowledge the people in Dimona. It's what I heard. I actually heard this from some people in Dimona. They didn't want to acknowledge Dimona, you know, being black, so they went and found some black folks they can endorse, so to speak, and then got them there and started treating them in your kind of way. I hear that suicide rate at one point was very high among those Ethiopians. So, again, folks, again, the world needs to know this. We're not talking about something that ain't got nothing to do with society today. We're off track. We're talking about something that'll never happen. Some of you actually believe that. Y'all just wasting y'all time talking about that. It is nowhere in the world those people in Israel is going to ever, okay, hold on, got a comment here. I didn't see your hand. I think it's Mama B. Hopefully I didn't mess it up. I think it's Mama B. But anyway, hey, code 404, go right in here with your comment. Talking about something that'll never happen. Some of you actually believe that.
Someone have a comment? Erico 404. You got to turn your radio down.
Hello.
You got a comment?
I'm sorry, baby. I pressed it by accident. I apologize. Enjoying the study, though.
Okay, Mama B. All right, well, all right, turn your radio down. I mean, well, not now, of course, because you're not going to comment. But if you decide to comment, we always enjoy when you do. I enjoyed you and Brian and everybody last week. So if you decide to comment, just press 1, and I'll just go ahead and proceed, okay?
Thank you.
But anyway, everybody, again, I just want everybody to know that this is serious, this is serious, this is serious. I'm never going to let up on this. We got to come together. We got to... I mean, we have already come together, first and foremost. There have already been some coming together. But let me just share something good that is actually already happening. Facebook, thank the Most High for Facebook. I know I don't always like everything they do, and they've already disabled me. I can't upload videos. I can't do a lot of things. But I still thank the Most High for Facebook. Because Facebook, I don't know what their motives are, and what they're trying to do to what their ulterior motive is. But I tell you one thing. They have allowed a unity to form that has never been in the Hebrew Israelite community around the world. I mean, I have friends literally from South Africa, Chile, South America, Brazil, I mean, India. I mean, I have all types of people on my Facebook. I have over 1,000 friends, and I mean, these people bring something to the table. They're saying something. They're about something. They have convictions. They're trying to live this life. They really love the Most High. Now, there is some knucklehead folks in the middle of all these people that ain't about 2 cents. They just looking for something else to complain about or something else to debate or something. You know, it's folks, we can't run from them people. And actually, I think we need them to grow. So, but there are some people that is just serious, my goodness, ready to put their money where their mouth is. I had a brother to call me. Not call me, but he was on one of his blogs, just like he was a listener. And he let me know he wanted to fund some things. He wanted to support monetarily. There's a lot of people that really is serious about this. They want our people to know who they are, why they're going through what they're going through. They want the nations of the world to know who we are so they'll understand better why we do the things we do, because the people, if the nations of the world, remember the scripture says, I will make you a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations. Again, the word says, I'll make you a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations in Psalms. The Most High was just saying he was going to make it to where the nations of the world disrespect us. Well, we're there. We are definitely there. But there are some people on Facebook. There are some people on Blog Talk Radio. There are some people on MySpace. There are some people on Twitter and all these social networks that ain't just socializing for the sake of socializing. A lot of them are pushing the kingdom. They're pushing the kingdom, so to speak. They are about the kingdom. So all I'm doing tonight on Tuesday night, when we say the Federation, we're just saying the uniting, the bringing together of international Israelites. I hope and pray for Mosiah, say the same, that this broadcast will go on forever. This is one broadcast I probably won't change the name, because I can always think of about 25 things we need to talk about as a people to iron out some of our differences, which brings me to the next thing. And that is, again, I hit it a little bit, and that is seeking peace with all groups, the ethnic groups, the white people that fear the Most High, that are called by his name. If y'all, some of y'all just ready to just hate these people so much because our foreparents went through so much hell dealing with these people. You just don't have it in your heart. First and foremost, you're not going to be able to go nowhere with that unforgiveness. We got to understand that the Most High is the one that put us in this situation. If they're taking it too far, okay, we need to lift that up to him and say, Most High, you know, you said that you would do these things to us, but these people are taking it. We can cry out for mercy. We can cry out for him to protect us, and I believe that he will, from the excessive abuse. But now, if we were 200 years ago, we couldn't have cried out to the Most High to end slavery. It wasn't going to happen because it wasn't time yet. But look at you and me, listener. We're born right at the very end of this. If we served this Pharaoh 400 years. We served this Pharaoh 400 years. And some people argue that it's not quite 400, that we wasn't enslaved until 16. I've heard all types of numbers. So but all I know is we're near the end or at the end, and there will be a says our. The fact is, like I said, you and I are talking about this at night, sitting up on a blog, talking about this freely, that tells you right there, that should give you an idea of the time, the signs of the time, the time, how close we are to this transition. So there will be a transition. Another thing I'm going to say is this. I said this last week, and I got it, y'all. If you don't hear nothing else I say tonight, please hear what I'm about to say. Please hear what I'm about to say. This is major, 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 major. Just because the nation of Israel is going through, is fulfilling the prophecy, does not mean that you as a person or your family is cursed. Your family has to have it hard. Your family has to lack. Your family has to be sick. Your family has to be ignorant of the Most High's word. That's not true. Christ, many people did great exploits while Israel was in captivity. Many families, I'm going to say it again, have done great exploits over the years since Christ. They've done great exploits, since Abraham, even if Israel was in captivity. So you don't have to be in bondage and live a defeated life just because your countrymen is going through and living out these prophecies. the curses. But you will mourn for your nation. That is a fact. If Christ did it, so will you. So let's talk about these real quick. We got 25 minutes, plenty of time. Let's just go ahead and talk about the so-called white man. I've heard all kind of comments. I want to hear what some of y'all have to say about that in the chat room. I'm watching it. You just type it. What do y'all think? Scripture talk about the spiritual Jew. The spiritual Jew. What do y'all think about the spiritual Jew? You think they're all a bunch of devils? How can they be a spiritual Jew and devils? Remember, the Most High never did want this little old Israel. He made this planet for him. He never wanted little old tiny Israel. He wanted the planet. So if you have a white people that honor the Most High and victims and victorious rights upon them, you're right. The Father honors righteousness. So I'm saying if you have little old white lady, the Most High always put it in my way. Now, Mama B, who are you calling folk? You got to explain yourself on that one. But y'all bear with me, just doing a little bit of nibbling off of something. I don't mean to be chewing your face, but okay, for his pleasure, okay. But anyway, there are white people the Most High have always put in my life that was completely different from some of the other ones that act like pure 100% devils, which I know they weren't devils, but they act like it. He always put a few in my path that'll be willing to go, seem like farther than my own blood family will do sometimes. I mean, some people that will show up, give their life for you. I always run into people like that. Do y'all do that? So you wonder, I mean, he just always kept me balanced like that. But, yeah, I've tried to subscribe to some of these beliefs that some of y'all are saying that they're devils and all this stuff, but it never stuck with me. Plus, my mother would probably turn over in her grave because she ain't never preached no hatred. And I'm just saying, folks, you got to be very careful. The Most High never wanted tiny Israel. And some of us got to understand exactly who Israel is. Israel was a very stiff-necked, rebellious people. Whatever the Most High did for Israel, he did it because of his covenant with Abraham. That's it. Israel was just to be an example to the world. The Most High, the scripture says over and over and over, they were just to be an example. Now the world have their own example when they look at the Bible. There was another people. The Jebusites have it. I mean, the different ites, whichever it be, Malachites, everybody have their example when they read the Bible. They can see Israel. They can see how it will be with them if they obey and how it will be with them if they disobey. Or they know that he's blessed if they obey, and they know that may not be so good for them if they disobey. Just looking how Israel suffers. That is it. Israel is supposed to be living epistles. People are supposed to literally read Israel and understand who the Most High is by looking at his people. That is all Israel was about. So some of y'all boasting out there, feeling all puffed up because you know the Hebrew and you know that some of y'all know the Greek and you just feel like you're just so much above your white brothers and sisters. And like I told you, this one particular show I mentioned earlier, calling them not human. We just messing up, and we're going to have to change that mess and apologize to some folks because we're wrong. Now, there are people that's going to want to help some of us. Not that we want to go kissing up to them so they can give us some money because some of them don't have no money. Some of them broke than we are. But I'm just saying, some people, ethnic people, is going to want to support us. And if they see us making fun of everybody else, they ain't going to want to have no part of us. They're not going to have nothing to do with us. We got to be wise. We running off people. We running off the righteous. We running off money. We running off support. We running off all types of, I mean, just, oh, I can't stand about this particular movement. But we got to start, as I said in the description, being more inclusive with other ethnic groups, the righteous, the so-called spiritual Jews. Moving right along. Maybe we'll finish this today. Here's another one. There's another thing I like to see happen among our family, the true house of David. Now, we know that prophetically, we need to prophetically plan for the mass exodus from traditional worship. There are going to be lots of people that are going to be coming out of these churches. Maybe they may not lead the churches. There's going to be a lot of churches that are going to be switching to a more Hebraic form of worship. I've been saying for many weeks now that a lot of churches are going to be empty. A lot of churches are going to be empty. People are going to leave churches. But me and a friend was talking, and I don't know if that may be true. I mean, I believe it. I'm still saying that there's going to be some exodus. There's going to be a mass exodus from a lot of these churches. I'm still saying that, but I don't think it's as big as I thought it was going to be, because I got to thinking, what is the difference between a nice Bible-believing church and the Hebrew movement? There's not much. Every church don't call the Son the Father. There's some churches that's biblically faith and they biblically sound. And when you go to say Yahweh, or you say Yahweh, or you say Yah, they're already doing that. What are we going to do with some people? That's true, Mama B. Mama B said we have people running people off on many subjects, especially women. Very true. But I'm saying, if a lot of these churches, you know, I think what it is in this movement, a lot of people just came from the world into the Hebrew Israelite movement. And they really don't know what church is all about. They try to say the church is inclusive, and they ain't never really been in it. But there are some very sharp churches, folks. There are some people that know their stuff. There's some people out there that's got something for you. Okay, they know about the gifts of the Spirit. They know about spiritual warfare. It's like nothing to them. They've been teaching it for years and years and years and years and years. They're very familiar with the angelic realm. Some of y'all, it scares some of y'all to even talk about this stuff. They're very familiar. Some of them are very familiar. You'd be shocked to know how much a lot of these churches are familiar with the Hebrew. Just like with the Yud-Heh-Wah-Heh, there's a lot of different studies out there, and some of y'all can get together on is it Yahweh or Yahweh, or there's churches that understand that. I guess what I'm saying is, what's the difference between the Hebrew movement, the so-called Hebrew Israelite or Hebrew movement, and a good Bible-sound church? What's the difference? Should they leave and go somewhere and join some Hebrews when they... Only thing different is, here's the main difference. They just don't believe that so-called African-Americans are one of the lost tribes. And they don't believe that the other 11 tribes are vastly non-white. Really, all of them non-white. And they don't believe that the people in Israel today are not the real Jews. That's the only difference. So if you get a pastor that all of a sudden, I hear you, Mama B. But if you get some pastors that all of a sudden acknowledge that we're Israel, they members don't need to go nowhere because they pretty much have caught us in theology. We're not that far ahead of a lot of, we're not that far ahead of a good, solid, Bible-believing church. Because they're going to preach you got to have the character of Christ. They're going to preach that Christ is not the Father. They may still say Jesus. That's another thing, you know, just because they're saying Jesus, does that negate their salvation? I mean, really, 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 some of y'all say, yeah. Well, it negates your salvation because now you know the truth and you may can't use these names. But if somebody had never heard of the Hebrew and they're talking about Mary's baby, they're talking about the Lamb of the Most High, they're talking about the person that died, you can't spring on them, but, well, you know, the Greco Romans created this image and then they put the name Jesus on there. Wasn't no J in the Hebrew. Them people don't know nothing about that. They're talking about the person in the book, and they happen to call him that name, that J that's no longer in there in the Bible, that never was in the Bible. I mean, that wasn't his name. There wasn't no J in the Hebrew. But I'm saying, if you got these mothers and, well, all these grandmothers, let's go back four grandmothers. They called on the name of Jesus. Are they lost or not? What about the granddad? Is they lost or not? What about your great-great-grandmother? Is she lost or not? What about your brother who probably lives? I'm talking about these people in your family and your friends that really is living this thing. They really, you get convicted when you go around them because they live circles around you. You're the one dipping and flipping, doing stuff you ain't got no business. You got a habit you've had for years and years. But you know they call the name of Jesus and they don't do a whole lot of stuff you do. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. I know where y'all live. Talking about spiritual speaking. I'm saying, what y'all going to do with some people? You don't throw them all in hell because they're saying Jesus. This is my frustration with the whole Hebrew Israelite movement. This is why I chose Tuesday night to start talking about these things. Yes, we need to bring on Israelites scattered throughout the four corners, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to try my best. But we need to talk about this. Now, I'm going to have to report. I'm going to have to say we're victims to Victoria. Now, listen to this, folks. Listen to this post. Now, this is what Victim to Victoria said, and he is right on point. He said, no, they can only be judged according to what they knew at that time. One thing for sure, they knew how to touch the Father, and he would answer. My goodness, that was strong, brother. You need to just go and preach this whole thing. But I'm just saying, he is right. We all come up under that. How all of a sudden we going to be too good for something we come out of? That's crazy. Now, once you know the truth, and once you know what his name truly is, and you're around nothing but Hebrew Israelites and everybody in the room know what you're talking about, then, yes, you should be saying the proper names of the Most High. I'm going to say it again. If you go into an assembly, a church, a mosque, or wherever, and everybody know the proper name of the Most High, you're around what they call mature people, then, yes, you should be saying the proper name because everybody has learned. Like when I do blogs, I say Jesus Christ. Some of y'all say, well, you know the Bible's enough to say the name of the false of another God. Well, to the person listening to me, I'm not saying the name of a false God. I'm saying the name of their Lord and Savior. To me, I know what I'm saying. I know why I'm saying. I'm not paying no homage to this fictitious person that stole the entire story from the real Christ. This story, what's his name, Caesar? I can get his name right now. Some of y'all Actually, I'm going to give you his name right about now.
A lot of y'all don't know this, but Leonardo da Vinci, there was a gay lover he had named Cecil, I'll spell the last name, Borgia. Cicero Borgia. I'm probably mispronouncing that. But this was his actual lover. And the Pope commanded, ordered, or however they, whatever word they used back then, for Leonardo da Vinci to paint a picture of Christ. And he painted this picture of Christ, and it was his lover. I'll spell the name. Y'all can go check it out right now online. C-E-S-A-R-A, last name, B-O-R-G-I. That's the name. That's the picture of Christ we see. Now, with the Lord's Supper, then a Pope again commanded Michelangelo to do that one. I got the history right. Y'all can correct me. I know y'all will. But folks don't mind correcting Brother Seth, and that's fine. But I'm going to say it again. Leonardo da Vinci rendered a painting of his lover, his gay lover, and I'll spell his name. Cesare is C-E-S-A-R-E, last name Borgia, B-O-R-G-I-A. This was the person that da Vinci painted. Just made a painting of his lover. And this is what we call Jesus Christ, or the picture of Jesus Christ. That's where we get that image from, Leonardo da Vinci. And that was, and by the way, Cesare, if I'm pronouncing his name, I'm probably butchering his name. But anyway, he was the son of a Pope. So anyway, so Mama B agreed. She said he was commissioned to paint it. So I'm telling y'all, I'm not whistling Dixie here. So anyway, we know all this stuff. But your grandmama and your granddaddy don't know none of this stuff, most of them. And they wasn't been more talking about this stuff when they was calling the Most High. So why do we put that on them? It's silly. If you're going to reach your brothers and sisters, we're talking about that tonight. We're talking about that tonight, how to reach out to some of these people and sharing how to get along. We're talking about tonight, how can we as a family, as an Israelite family, we're talking about how can we tighten up, become more one, become more solid, okay? A lot of y'all come out of foolishness. You come out of the church because you wanted something real. So I don't have to tell y'all about being real. Y'all are already real. Y'all want change. Some of y'all cannot stand hypocrisy. Some of y'all cannot stand, you know, sin. And so that's why you become a Hebrew. That's why you started searching. So you don't need no lesson on that. Y'all already have the hunger and the thirst for righteousness already with you. I'm just saying, why is us to have this can't get along, some of us. And I just believe that we are just not using common sense. We're not using, we're letting egos get in the way. You know, and if we're doing things unto the Most High again, if you're doing it unto the Most High, if you're serving the Most High, you're not going to be so quick to be wanting to be right all the time. And I'm talking about myself. Y'all just don't know how somebody's just stepping on my own toes because I'm not perfect. But I've learned when I'm debating with someone and I really care about that person and I care about that person learning and I'm thinking about the Most High and I'm praying under my breath, you know, Father, let them see the light, and I really have a heart for them, I'm more apt to try to be right. I just share the word, and I try to let them talk. I seem to let them talk more. It's just a whole different conversation when your heart is in it. But when you're trying to prove yourself to be right, and you're trying to, you know, that ego get in the way, like a lot of men, I know Mama B talking about how these women can be, and she's right. But most of the time, it's these men, their egos, man, I'm telling you. If we can just remember to whatever we do as an Israelite, to do it unto the Most High. Do it even on these jobs. And this is a hard one for me. Oh, my goodness, I'm really stepping on my toes. But this ain't about me tonight, folks.
This is about truth versus lies. And I'm just sharing what is truth tonight, not so much what Brother said live. It's, you know, this blog will probably be, I mean, it's not about so much person, not so much about you as it is about what is right and what is wrong. Okay? What I'm saying is, I forgot my train of thought. Yeah, I'm thinking like it's off. But I'll think of it, I always do. But if we are seeking the Most High heart, I don't think we're going to want to be as right. It just don't seem important. Like, okay, you're saying, no. We'll look dumb. Because we care about our brother and we just share truth, and if we don't see it, you know, again, like I said, when I'm praying under my breath, I'm praying for the brother or the sister I'm talking to, Father, and see, I have a tendency to let them talk more. I want to hear what they're saying. I pray about it. I pray for them after we get done. How many times you beg with somebody, you pray for them after you get done? Them probably never, some of y'all, because you don't really be caring about them. You be caring about winning. You really care about winning a person's heart and helping them get close to the Most High. You're going to pray for them after you're done discussing it. That's a heart check right there. You can write that down. If you don't pray for them even sometime before, sometimes you don't know what a person's going to talk about, but if you know ahead of time you're going to talk about the scripture, you should pray before, while you're talking to them, and after. If you don't do all of that, you really ain't for them. You're religious. And I told you, religious people is the biggest problem in the world. Religious people is the problem with our planet. If you run around talking about the names of the Most High, the Shabbat, when is the right day, the feast days, all these things, and you don't be doing it as unto the Most High, I told you I was going to know what I was thinking. But what I forgot was, no matter what you do, you need to be doing that unto the Most High. Whatever you want to think about, whatever you do, all day long, you should be doing it for the Most High. You should be doing it to make him look good. You should be, even when you raise your children, and you're trying to say, little Johnny, don't play in the sand, you can still tie it to the Most High, because the Most High said don't do it. I mean, because if you play in the sand, you can get bit and you get sick and, then you won't be around to serve the Most High. Everything should be towards the Most High, for the Most High, to the Most High, for the Most High, to the Most High, about the Most High, for the. And I know we say, well, you sound religious. No, you don't have to be saying Most High all the time. Again, you probably should be, but I'm saying, in your heart of hearts, everything you do should be for the Most High. Even when you brush your teeth, something as simple as brushing your teeth. You should brush your teeth so your breath won't smell bad, so when you're sharing with someone, they will find you pleasant to talk to. So when you share about the Most High, you know, they won't be pushed by you. I mean, if people don't like you because your breath always stinks, then when you do decide to talk about the Most High, they won't want you to talk to them because your breath stinks. So that's why you should brush your teeth. I mean, no matter what you bring up, I can say you should do that unto the Most High. You eat right. You eat right so your vessel, your temple, your body can be in good. You can live long, you can be alert and wear it and all these things for the Most High, for his work. Everything is supposed to be to and for the Most High. Folks, we got 1 minute. I want to go ahead and I'm going to go a little bit long because I'm not quite done. I got one more piece. This will take 10 minutes, so those of you that's not on the phone lines, you might want to call the phone line, 760-283-0838. It's right there on the front page. But I'm not going to go much longer. I'm only going to go about another 10 minutes. So I'm just going to say goodbye to those on the Internet because it's going to cut off in like 30 seconds. But the rest of us will keep talking, and it will be archived. It will be archived. We'll go another 10 minutes. So I got 60 seconds. So, again, those of you on the Internet, just know that we're going to go ahead and sign out here in about 60 seconds. So you might want to call that number so you don't miss any of this. But I got the last thing coming up I want to talk about. I want to finish up what I'm talking about now. Then we're going to talk about the whole economic, how we can help each other. in an economic way. And I hope y'all really hear this, because we're going to talk about how our white brothers and sisters and our Indian brothers and sisters and everybody can help out financially, okay? So I definitely want y'all to hear this. And again, we'll be done here in about 10 minutes. So, again, people, I'm just, again, I want to just mention the fact that there will be a massive exodus from the churches, but I don't know if it's going to be every church. I don't even know if it's going to be most churches. I just know it's going to be a lot of people leaving churches. Already is happening. And I think some churches is going to see the exodus and going to say, why are people leaving churches? And they'll start asking questions. And once they see the light or they hear the truth or people want to know who they are, they'll start teaching it, even if it's for mammon. Even if it's just to save their flock. A lot of ministers already know this. Some of y'all don't know this because you ain't been in church a long time, but a lot of ministers already know this. They already know it. They just don't teach it because they fear it's going to run off their members. Isn't that something? But it's the truth. I've talked to them. I've heard them in my own ears say that. Heard one person tell me that we can't teach this right now. All these people are going to do is put Judah on their neck, Issachar on their arm. They're just going to tattoo what tribe they're from and just worship the tribe. They're not going to get into the Most High. I mean, people know this, people. I'm serious. I think the largest denomination in America is the Hebrew Israelites or the Hebrews. I believe that with all my heart. I think a lot, I mean, I remember there was something like 300,000 just in the upper north or the northeast United States, about 300,000. This was a brother that used to actually keep the numbers. He would keep up with how many. He never found out the numbers of the people in Texas and down south. He never got the numbers from the whole entire West Coast. I believe that there's millions. And then when you start talking about closet Israelites, these people that believe, but for whatever reason they don't practice because of this, that, and the other, folks, it's got to be the largest denomination. So don't be shocked when you see millions of people, millions of websites popping up, millions of, we're about to talk about that in a second, but I'm just saying don't get shocked when you see lots of people all of a sudden talking about the Hebraic way of this, the Hebraic way of that, returning back to the, you know, the ways of, don't get shocked. I'm telling you, they're there. I already know they're there. I already talked to a lot of them. They know. They really do know. They're just afraid. It's very controversial. You saw mention this in your church, you're going to wind up with a fourth of the people you have. And these people, they live their life, their feet, the salaries, you know, feed them, feed their children, and they should trust the Most High. I know what y'all thinking, but unfortunately, they worry. They worry about how they're going to pay bills, just like a lot of us do from time to time, and they just not going to risk the ministry like that. They're going to wait till it's convenient to everybody's preaching it, and then all of a sudden, everybody will be turning to the Hebraic form of worship, the Hebraic day. You're looking at certain laws in the old dispensation to try to institute now, all types of things. So, folks, don't be shocked when you see it with your eyes, okay? It's going to happen. I kid you not. It is going to happen, all right? Now, last thing I want to talk about, because I want to be done with this, and next week is going to be something totally different, and so I want to finish up and talk about this last little portion. I thought that we shouldn't do no more than another 7 minutes on this. And that is, another thing I would like to see is us become wise stewards and establish an economic base or economic bases that will fund this movement. Again, I would love to see, and we need to be about being wise stewards. Some of y'all know this. I'm not teaching y'all nothing. We need to be wise stewards, as the scriptures have commanded us to be, and establish economic bases that will fund this movement Now, folks, whenever you get millions of people doing anything, if everybody, if millions of people decide to go out and buy this low dollar size toothpaste tomorrow, it's going to be big. If millions of people decide to just all go to work at the same time, it's going to be big. If millions of people decide to go and just buy, everybody goes buy ice cream at the same time, it's going to be big. It's going to make news. If a million people does anything all at the same time, it's going to be big. So if you get millions of people all of a sudden starting to ask questions, I keep hearing about this Israelite and these Hebrews. What is this about, Pastor? If they all start doing that, look for these pastors to start doing something out of the norm. Look for these people to start doing something out of the norm if these pastors don't comply. Folks are asking questions because they're going to these blog talk shows like this one. They're calling these shows and they're getting told off. They're finding out that they don't know much about the Bible at all, or they're traveling and they're beginning to see stuff across the waters that they didn't learn in their church, and they begin to start seeing things and hearing things about Christ and his physical appearance and how the Bible is. You know, predominantly people of color, hearing all these things is rattling their foundation. And they're asking questions, not to be troublemaker at their churches. They just want to know, just like some of y'all were. It's happening right now. And whenever there's that kind of movement with millions of people, people are attached to something called money. It's just you can't divide them. They're attached to something called money. And if we're wise stewards, and I'm talking to Seth, myself, for sure right now, if we ask the Most High and be prayerful and we position ourselves in business, be a very small business a certain way, we probably wouldn't have to work the rest of our life. Now, we don't want to do this any of this for the sake of money. Remember, we do everything for and unto the Most High. But the Most High wants us free. He wants us detached from this world's economic oppression, oppressive system. So if we can, and I mentioned last week things like websites, because that's the first thing they want to go to, websites where people are teaching the truth. That's why Blog Talk, I think, is so popular. And what's so sad is that a lot of people, I'm not saying Blog Talk owner is one of these people, but some of these white people are very smart. They're very witty. And they study the very thing I'm saying we should study. They understand these trends. They are seeing these trends because they got their ear to the ground, so to speak, or they're watching certain social. They're watching the boom of the YouTubes and the MySpaces, and they're just doing what I'm saying we should do. We know that these people are coming. This should give us an idea. We know these people are coming, and we know what they're going to be coming for. So we should take the carrot, so to speak, like a mule and a carrot. I probably shouldn't use this scenario, but I'm saying. We know what these masses of people are going to want because we know what we wanted when we started to ask questions. So we can design websites. We can design even social networks. Okay? We can set up certain institutes that study just this. Set up institutes. We can even set up some of our think tanks that study just this. Some of us will qualify for government funding if we just focus on just this particular thing. Because when these people come, it's going to create jobs. And if we don't take advantage of this and we just listen to Brother Seth and go, yeah, that's good dreaming, then our white brothers and sisters are going to step right up to the plate. Those businessmen that probably have a fear of God in them, they just strictly own money, and they will literally profit from the rise of Israel. And somebody said, what's wrong with that? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But my goodness, shouldn't the people that's been oppressed all these years, that have been on the bottom, start to, shouldn't they be the ones that should grow rich from the from their people gaining knowledge? Because I'm going to tell you something. If other people fund our knowledge institutions, they might not tell everything just quite right. Like Facebook. Facebook was allowing us to share. We had little quotes on top of our Facebook. Y'all remember this? Then all of a sudden, bam, we can't do this. We can't do that. We can't go here. We can't go there. We can't upload this. We can't upload that. So, folks, many of y'all are going to hear this on the archive. I've been doing very good on this night. So I look for lots of y'all to hear this on the archive, those of you that are not listening now. And all I'm saying is really think about and pray about where the Most High should is calling you to be at this date and time, at this date and time. So I'm going to go ahead and end this for tonight. Thank y'all for staying over. And as usual, I always like to go out with a nice song to kind of make you think. So we'll just let Malachi lead us out, all right? Shalom, everybody. Mama B, thank you for being a faithful listener. I know there's other people listening, but I just want to single you out. But thank everybody for listening tonight. And remember, Israel, it's time for us to awake. It's time for us to awake. Awake, Zion. Put on thy strength. Here's Malachi. He's coming. He's coming.
Prince Malachi. Who jumped in the pit with a lion, slew it on a snowy day.